Brother Jude is, the Lord inspired him to write, and we're down here at this verse number four, and speaking about these certain men crept in unawares. There's a contrast here that the brother is making between those that are faithful, those that believe, and those that don't believe. And so we'll pick it up here and see what the latter part of this verse is talking about. Verse number four, for there are certain men crept in unawares, where could contend for the faith, once delivered to the saints, to be about standing. And then that word escapes me. I'm going to look back here. Earnestly contend is speaking about struggling for that. There's going to be that which is going to fight against it, and we need to fight for the truth. Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, verse 4 of Jude, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. Okay, we took a look about that last time, about them being ungodly, and about the fruits of the Spirit, and how we are known by our fruits. They are known by their fruits, false prophets, and those that creep in, known by fruit. And then it says here, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. The grace of God, His unmerited favor, as we refer to it and understand it, the favor of God upon an individual. And the Scripture tells us much about the grace of the Lord, His favor upon His people, His favor upon saints, His favor upon us in saving us. The Scripture bears out and that the Lord was at work long before even the beginning of time for the sake of His people. He had determined a plan. He chose a people that He would bring unto salvation. He created this world. And as humans, in our federal head, we sinned against God. We went directly against Him. And Adam did so, and we did so in him. And then even by our own choice, the Scripture bears out that when we hit the air in this world, we come forth from the wombs of our mothers speaking lies. We're sinners, and we're depraved. We'll see about that in our study of our church a doctrinal statement about the total depravity of man. That's how bad sin is, and how it was so necessary that the Lord, if there was going to be salvation, it would be the Lord that would bring salvation in every wit and way. These who are creeping in are taking that favor, taking that blessing of God. Remember, they creep in unawares, as we saw wolves in sheep's clothing, make me look good. And with the Lord's help and wisdom, we can take and evaluate fruit and know possibly who they would be. We need to watch. We need to beware. And grant, we don't need to be suspicious of each other, but we do need to beware and be on the lookout, because these are those that come in and they take the grace of God and turn it into lasciviousness. This good favor and blessing of God, they turn it into that is very, very wanton. It's licentious. It's filthy. It is wantonness. That's what this word lasciviousness is speaking about. Let's turn over here to 2 Peter chapter 2. I think I read this verse, and let's take a look at it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7. This is the same word, lasciviousness. Okay, there's wickedness, there's fornication, and the wickedness of sodomy and lesbianism, all that just terrible, terrible things. And that's what's happening. These are going in and taking the good grace and favor of God, and they're looking to get and destroy, not steal salvation. No one can steal salvation from anybody that has it. Because why? It's been given by God. They've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. But our lives can be ruined. Our reputation and our witness for the Lord can be ruined. And these are used and do so of their own will, and even maybe used of Satan to come in and ruin the lives of the people of God. Listen to this. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7, The Lord has judged Sodom and Gomorrah, and he knows how to deliver his people, and he knows how to punish the ungodly. And it says here in verse number 7, and deliver just Lot. That word is talking about justified. Same word, if we understand it right, in verse number 8, righteous. Okay? And verse number 9, or connected to it, godly. Okay? And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing with his eyes, and hearing with his ears, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust, which he did with Sodom and Gomorrah, unto the day of judgment to be punished, and of course in that final judgment too. Lot, we wouldn't know that Lot was saved unless the scripture would tell us. And it says here that he was vexed. It tore him up. It ate him up. It affected him adversely. He was a righteous, a just man saved by the Lord, and he was tore up by putting up with all that sin around him. He lost his family. Because he was willing to get up there close to the edge, and he lost his family, and if you will, lost his life. And from him, with an incestuous relationship with his daughters, the nation of Israel was plagued for centuries by Moab and Ammon. Right? And so this, but it says here, delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation. That's that same word, lasciviousness, filthy conversation. I trust you understand and know what the word conversation is talking about. It's that everything of life, our operation of life, as we looked at this morning about the heart or our thinking, what's within us, our conversation is there with what we think. What do we think about life? What do we think about what we're doing? What do we pursue? What are we convicted about? What are we led by the Spirit about? Our conversation is yielded, and then what we say, the mouth can't help but give away the heart. And what we say is part of our conversation. What we think is part of our conversation. And then, ultimately, what we do is our conversation. He was delivered by the Lord, but he was vexed with the filthy thinking, talking, and doing of the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lasciviousness, filthy thinking and doing. Same word, same Greek word there used. In the book of James, chapter 3, let's take a look over here. James, chapter 3. In James, chapter 3. Let's just read through this quickly. My brethren, verse number 1, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive those who lead, those who teach. I'm thankful we have teachers in our church. But you know what? There's responsibility that goes with that. There's responsibility. And those who teach, in the classes that the church has, and VBS coming up, you need to know what the Word of God says, and you need to rightly divide it, and you need to give out the Word of God correctly and right. There's a responsibility there. There's a blessing there, and there's a responsibility. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word by his mouth, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. See, The mouth reveals what's in the heart, and if the mouth be controlled, then the body can be controlled too. Listen, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about by a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. It's destructive. It can be destructive. It can be used for blessing, but it can be destructive. But the mouth, the tongue speaks from that which is in the heart. For every kind of beast and birds and serpents and of the things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth a fountain bring forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, not a filthy conversation, but a good conversation, his works with meekness, self-control, with power of the Lord, of wisdom. But if any have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Listen, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. These that come in and turn the grace of the Lord into lasciviousness, that's how they're living. That's how they're motivated. That's what's in their mind to pursue. Not spiritual things, but that which is earthly and is sensual and indeed is devilish. It's bad. Bad. Because all they're desiring to do is to consume for self. This wisdom sinneth not from above, verse 15, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And so we need to beware. We need to beware that we not be involved in such activities and such conversation. And we need to be aware, as the apostle warned us and warns us, and these that he's writing to as he writes this, to be on the lookout for these false prophets and for these that would lead a false way. They turn the grace, the favor of God, into a thing that would be abused in the flesh. And you can name any number of ways. And listen, back in Jude 4, by doing so, here's what they do. The grace of our God into lasciviousness, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, the Lord Jesus here teaching. Makes a very plain statement. But whosoever, verse number 33, Matthew 10:33, he talks about that one that should be feared. He talks about the worth of his children. He talks about the care of the Lord. And he says this in verse number 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. These, by what they pursue, that Jude is writing about, in their taking the favor of God and turning it into lasciviousness, in doing so, not only are they pursuing their wickedness and the conversation that they are filled up with, know nothing of God, but in that they do deny God. Let us not be found denying God. We are not to deny the Lord. He says plainly, those that deny him before men, he will deny before the Father. We are the Lord's children. We are the Lord's witnesses as we walk on this earth and a witness of good things in Christ. Let us not deny Him. Let us not deny Him in every whit of our conversation or our action. In Matthew chapter 16, we go on a few chapters over. Matthew chapter 16. Verse number 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow me. He was very plain with Peter in John chapter 21, wasn't he? Follow me. If I have John live till I come back, what is that to thee? Follow me. We don't follow men. We follow the Lord. And we don't make sure, indeed, we don't follow men that promote themselves. But like as a pastor, I'm given to pastor the church here and to lead in that capacity, but do not follow me if I am not following the Lord. We're to follow the Lord Jesus. If I begin to preach about me, I'm preaching about the wrong one. I need to be preaching about Jesus. It's all about Him and unto Him. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Not what I want, but what the Lord wants. And take up his cross. Indeed, there will be a burden. There will be a calling. There will be a desire. And follow me. We're to deny self. Not the Lord. And in Titus chapter 1, in Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 1, in they, what they pursue, they deny the Lord. In verse number 16 of Titus chapter 1, they profess that they know God. There's talk there. That element of conversation, there's talk, but as we find out, there's no thought and there's no walk. They profess that they know God, but in works, what they do, they deny Him. Do you and I, do we confirm the Lord knowing us and us knowing Him by the way that we walk and what we do? Or are we found to say one thing and then do another, and in what we do, actions speak louder than words. Words are to be there, but actions speak louder than words. And in what we do, in the act of those things, and what we pursue, we're back down to fruit, aren't we? That's how the false prophets can be told. That's how anybody can be reckoned, is by their fruit. Not what we say, but what we do. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Not even an understanding of how to pursue anything that is good. That's the way these deny their Lord. We're not to deny the Lord. We're to deny self. If anything, we're to deny self. And in chapter 2 of this book, we see indeed what the child of God is to deny. We're to deny self. We've seen that. And thereby not deny the Lord. But this is what we should deny. In chapter 2, verse number 12, the grace of God, verse 11, that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. It teaches us something, doesn't it? God's good favor upon us. Doesn't that teach us something? Teaches about the long-suffering and the graciousness and mercy of God, the love of the Lord, His care. What is it that the Lord would even care about us? But He has. He cared. He cared enough to come seeking us when we were a long, long way away from Him and hated Him. He came looking for me. You're hearing say He came looking for you. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We should deny self And we should deny worldly lusts and ungodliness and worldly lusts or worldly desires. Do we desire the things that the world partakes in? Is that what we want? The things that the world takes part and say, well, boy, that looks fun. That looks good. I want to get into it. What's the Lord say about it? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly. We should deny drunkenness, right? We should live righteously and deny unrighteousness. We should live godly and deny ungodliness right now. That's what we should be found doing. And so let us beware of these. And so now as we go forward in our study in this book, we're going to see this contrast. We're going to see this contrast about believers and unbelievers. In Jude 5, he'll say, I will therefore put you in remembrance. I want to remind you about a few things. I want to give you some contrast of how this is so. The Lord has taken care of these in the past. He's made a differentiation the way he deals with those that don't believe and those that do believe. And I want to remind you of a few cases of this as the apostle writes. Are you here and not saved? You need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You need Him. Him and Him alone. As the brother mentioned this morning, salvation is in the person of Christ. Not doctrine, not a dogma, not a covenant, not a creed. But salvation's in the Lord. In the Lord Jesus, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are saved, may we not deny Him. Oh, but may we stand and just tell again what He has said is the truth. Tell it again. Tell it again. Tell it again. Until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. May we be a good witness to the sinners, those that are without Christ that the Lord's put in our life. And may we speak to them. And may we consider to pray for them. And may we may our actions toward them show the love of the Lord as the Lord has loved us. Our conversation. We not take the grace of God and turn it in as some one aspect of that, a license to sin against God. That's wickedness, isn't it? It's wickedness. But the good grace and favor of God upon us has made it to where we have seen the light and are saved and have the Lord. And we can tell others about the Lord.